All right, let's open the book of Psalm chapter 2. We will read that all of us together. That's not exactly my text, but I want us to read that together. Psalm chapter 2, we will read it together. Psalm chapter 2, you open your mouth and read those words about Jesus. All right, let's go together. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for the inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, all ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now, this is the nation that rises and says, let us break that band asunder. Cast away the cost from us. In other words, we don't care about God. This is rebellion.
That's right.
But God looks at them and say, what are you doing down there?
Yeah.
Now turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Verse 22. The Bible says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Let's pray. Father, we thank you because you're holy. Be magnified for your goodness. We give you glory and honor and power. Thank you because you sit enthroned in the heavens. We pray you move upon us today. Deliver us from the works of darkness, from rebellious hearts and from rebellious spirit. Open our hearts to hear what you're saying for us today. Lord, exalt yourself. Let your word be true in the hearts of your people. I know we've come from different places today. Our minds may be scattered here and there. But I plead the blood of Jesus Christ will bring us together again to hear what you're saying. Help us, Lord, today to be obedient to your word tonight. Exalt yourself because you're good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in the book of Psalm, we read about when men say, who is God that we should obey him? And they turn away from him. That is rebellion. Today, I want to speak to you about rebellion. Frederick William Nietzsche was born on 15th of October, 1844. His father, Ludwig Nietzsche, was a Lutheran pastor. His grandfather was also a pastor. Frederick began to study theology at the University of Bonn. So when he went to college, he went to study theology. At the age of 20 years, in his first semester, he renounced his faith to pursue what he termed freedom. He became a professor in 1869 at the age of 24 at the University of Basel in Switzerland. He propagated the idea of nihilism, or meaningless in life. His work was actually the basis on which Adolf Hitler and Stalin used to begin to do what they began to do. He influenced them. They studied his work. On January 3rd, 1889, he suffered mental illness from which he never recovered till his death on August 25th, 1900. Following a psychotic breakdown in 1899, at the age of 44 years, he was admitted at Bessel Mental Asylum. And on January 18th, 1889, was transferred to Jena Mental Asylum. He remained in a demented darkness until his death on the 25th of August. His diagnosis was general paralysis of insane, which is generally accepted as what he died of. He rebelled against God. And his final end was he became insane. In the book of 1 Samuel, we have Saul as the first king of Israel. So the context is he's been sent to go and destroy the Amalekites. And God gives him a word, go and do it. So there's no question about it. And is the Amalekites are being punished for what they had done before. So Saul goes, and Saul is given victory, and Saul decides, okay, I'm going to do my own thing and not follow what God has asked me to do. So he does half of what God asked him to do. He destroys the Amalekites, but sees some things he likes. So he comes back with some cattle, some sheep, and Agag, whom he's supposed to kill. When Samuel comes to say, have you done the work of God? He says, oh, yes, I did it. And then Samuel said, what about the bleating sheep I hear?
Yes, sir.
He disobeyed God. So what causes disobedience? What is rebellion? Rebellion is open resistance to lawful authority. That's what it is.
Yes.
Children can rebel against their parents. Citizens can rebel against the authority of their government. Men tend to rebel against their pastors. And for the most part, men born with the wickedness in our life, born sinners, we always rebel against the law of God.
That's right.
So, why do we rebel? What causes rebellion? In chapter 15, verse 19, Saul rebels against the word of God. Chapter 15, verse 19, the Bible says like this, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 23, for rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. When you reject the word of God, you have rebelled. You remember Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden?
Yes, sir.
The devil said, did God really say? That was a question. Questioning God's word, then rebelling against God's word, and then the fall of man.
Yes.
The other reason why we rebel is the fear of man. Chapter 15, verses 21. The Bible says this, but the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. So he feared the people. Verse 24, the Bible says, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord by the words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He feared the people rather than fearing God.
Yes.
Sometimes we call it peer pressure. Sometimes we call it other things, but it's ultimately rebellion against God.
Right.
So what direction do you go when you begin to disobey and reject God? What course do you take? You begin to say half-truths. Look at verse 13 and verse 20. Verse 13, the Bible says, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord.
Yes.
Has he? No. But according to him, he has. Verse 20, what does he say? Verse 20, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. That's half truth. He did not do what God asked him to do. He is double dealing. He's double dealing this way and this way. Sometimes we say, you know, I am actually sad, but I'm just out of God's will. Are you? See, sometimes we have all the reasons we can give for disobedience. We say half-truths. We also begin to deceive ourselves. Verse 21, chapter 15, verse 21. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Did God ask for sacrifice? No. So sometimes we use deception. You know, I didn't come, but I just lied there and I had my own time with God. You know, I didn't do this because of ABCD. You know, I began to go to the bar and drink with them because I'm trying to witness to them. You know, I'm doing this and this because of this and that and that. There's a reason why you're deceiving yourself. You're rationalizing. You're trying to make a reason why you're doing what you're doing.
Right.
You know, we can't live together because she just has problems. What about you?
Yeah.
You rationalize as you disobey, as you walk out of your marriage, as you do other things, you rationalize. Yeah. You disobey the word of God. You have reasons for what you're doing. You know, I'm a very good person until somebody touches me the wrong side. Are you? Or you just have a problem with anger. You rationalize.
Yes, sir, preacher.
Then you say, well, everybody does it. That's why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
God will understand.
Yeah.
Everybody did it. No. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, this is how our hearts look like. Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
That's right.
Sometimes we do it by feeling. I just feel it's the right thing to do. It doesn't work that way. Then we begin to minimize the consequences. Because we are walking in rebellion, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Judges 16:20, you know that. Samson. Samson's power is in his, is God has given him power, and God has told him, I've given you power, but you're a Nazarite. Do not cut your hair.
Right.
So he disobeys. He's playing with sin.
Right.
The first time he says, if you do this, this will happen, strike one, he's okay. Second time, she says, where is your power? She says, say something else, strike two, that's all right. Third time, strike three, by strike four, he's cut his hair. He was joking and playing with sin, minimizing. Then it becomes a habit. You're so used to it, and no longer it's a shame to you, you just love to do it. You no longer remember that that is sin. Verses 14. The Bible says, and Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of sheep in mine ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? Sometimes it gets so much engrossed in rebellion that we don't even know we're rebelling. Everybody around us sees it, but we cannot see it. And we just keep on and keep on and keep on. And there's so much bleating, there's so much lowing, and there's so much noise and so much red, but you're not seeing it because you're just going a certain direction.
Yep.
So what are the consequences of rebellion? Number one, the rejection by God or the break of fellowship with God. Verse 23. The Bible says, for rebellion is the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. God rejected him. God did not want him. And in verse 26, the Bible says, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. God rejected him. after God having blessed him, rebellion lead into rejection. It hurts God when you rebel against him. Look at verse 11. The Bible says, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." It grieved God. Your rebellion, your sin grieves God. When God comes to the Garden of Eden asking for Adam, God is grieved that Adam has sinned. And then there's no voice from God. Because there's separation from you and God, then because you're continually going in the direction that God doesn't want you to go, God rejects you, fellowship breaks, and then there is no voice from God. Chapter 15, verse 34 to 35. The Bible says, "And Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel." There's no more voice of God in his life. At one point, it's going to get quiet in your life. Right now, there may be a red light blinking at you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. As the more you continue that direction, you get used to it. You get used to it. You're dumping it. The voice is not loud anymore. There'll be a quietness in your life. So God becomes silent in his life. God then became silent to his prayer. God did not listen to him. Chapter 28 of the book of 1 Samuel, verse 6. Saul is in need. Saul is going through a hard time. He is being attacked again. The Philistines are against him. He's seeking God. He rebelled against God. God moved away from him. So in chapter 28 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And then Saul inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets." It was just silent. His prayers were not heard. There was no voice. At the most critical point of his life, there was no voice. So number one, you break fellowship as you rebel against God. Number two, he lost the favor of gifts of God. Verse 28 of chapter 15. The Bible says, "And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to the neighbor of thine that is better than you than thou." You keep rebelling, you keep rebelling, you keep rebelling. Sooner or later, your singing changes. Your witness changes, the brightness of God's presence on you changes, and you become dim and dim, and the favor of God begins to dwindle in your life because you're continually going the wrong direction. So the kingdom was taken from him. He lived under the jealousy of David all his life. Number three, mental disorders. He began to suffer from mental disorders. Look at chapter 16, verse 14. So he has rejected God. And because he has rejected God, he doesn't want the cover of God in his life. This is what happens in verse chapter 16, verse 14. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." The steps are becoming worse and worse and worse. It began by Then God's favor left. Then God's voice was quiet. Then Spirit of God departs from him. Now he's under the oppression. There's no covering of God's mercy about him. He's exposed. He's not under the umbrella of God. So at this point, he begins to suffer from mental disorders. An evil spirit tormented him. Look at what the Bible says about the children of Israel in chapter 12 of the book of Matthew. Matthew 12, 43 to 45. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. So here, Jesus gives a narration of different scenarios on how these people have disobeyed. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. So he gives example of several. He tells about the people of Nineveh in chapter 41. And in verse 45, he says this: when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through the dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. The favor of God lives. The exposure to things is there. And because the canopy of God's grace is not about you, because you have deepened yourself into sin more and more, you become worse and worse and worse. Now there's no shame. You do it over and over. You don't feel anything. So Saul begins to be tormented. There's no peace for him. And of course, we know there's no peace for the wicked. So in his torment, he cannot contain himself. David has to come and play for him to soothe him. You know, as much as I know, the more we drift away from God as a generation, the more mental disorders we have. Our forefathers had less mental issues than we have today. So now we have every kind of mental. Now, I understand now there's a mental disorder called the fond mental disorder. Really, it's there. There's even a disorder called the computer mental disorder. And they're going on and on and on and on. When you begin to find there's no peace in your life, there's sometimes the things that cause disorder in our life is actually rebellion and sin. See, you sin, you can't sleep because you're anxious. And because you can't sleep because you're anxious, you're not repenting. Lack of sleep over a period of time messes up your brain. So what began as a disobedience that was not repented leads into something that causes you to be disturbed in the times you're supposed to be resting. And sooner or later, you are headed towards a complete disorganization of your brain. That's what Nietzsche went through. So mental disorders, Saul suffers from them. So in mental disorder, not listening from God, God not hearing him, Saul turns to witchcraft. 1 Samuel chapter 28. So God is not listening. He needs something. He's at the drop of his life. He needs somebody to speak to him. So he chooses to go to witchcraft. I will read from verse 6, which I've already read, in verse 7. 28, 1 Samuel 28, verse 6 and 7. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath an unfamiliar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. So God is not listening. You're going through tough times. They cannot diagnose what you have because it's not an organic problem. It's a spiritual problem. And because you cannot repent and the doctors cannot find what it is, you begin to seek other avenues. And so what does the devil suggest to you? Witchcraft. So you begin to seek New Age, spiritism, palm reading, transcendental meditation. Name them. All that list, you begin to go through it because you're searching for some help. You see, spiritual problems can only be solved spiritually. You cannot solve a spiritual problem by trying to put it in a physical way. See, the man who was in the tombs and crying day and night, they could not solve his problem physically. They tried to tame him. They couldn't. He'll break it. They tried everything they could. They could. It was not a physical problem. It was a spiritual problem. So when Jesus came and solved the spiritual problem, the man was fine. So when you move away from God, rejection is a spiritual problem. And the spiritual problem begins to develop other things in your life, which then begin to be expressed in a physical form. And so when you try to solve the physical problem, it cannot be solved. What you need is a spiritual solution. So Saul goes looking for a familiar spirit, which is not going to solve his problem. But he's mentally disturbed. I challenge you. Look at your life. Look at where you are. Look at where you've been. Look at the things you've gone through. Look at places you've ultimately, deliberately, knowingly disobeyed God. And until you go back there and say, Lord, I am sorry. You can't solve this problem. You know, sleep medication may help you a little bit, but soon it's wear out. I was in a class. It was a psychology class in a college here. I shall leave unnamed. And we're given a scenario of a young girl who couldn't sleep. She couldn't sleep because she was just tormented. Tormented because she had done something wrong. And as we discussed, you know what came up? It was described as a disorder. The girl was outrightly under conviction, but was described as a disorder. Most of what we deal with in our society today are spiritual problems. But because we frame them as disorders, we never go back to God to say, I'm sorry. So we live with them. Most of disorders, we live with them until we die. There are no solutions for disorders. Could it be that is a rejection of God? So Saul suffers that. So he goes to witchcraft. He doesn't get any need. Now, ultimately, the last thing is Saul commits suicide. 1 Samuel 31, verse 4. He's desperate. God is not speaking to him. God is not helping him. Up to now, Saul does not see the need to go back and say, I'm sorry. So the war begins. In chapter 31, verse 4, the Bible says, and then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest this uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was so afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And then turn to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 10. This is a place that God lets us know why Saul dies. This is really a place that the scripture outrightly shows us that doubling into sins of witchcraft, God punishes it. First Chronicles chapter 10, I will read verse 1 to 4 and then jump to 13 to 14. The Bible says in verse 1 and 4, now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gibeon. And the Philistines followed hard after Saul and after his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Melchishua, the sons of Saul. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was wounded of the archers. And then said Saul to his army bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through, wherewith lest these uncircumcised come and abuse me. But his army bearer would not, for he was so afraid. So Saul took a sword and fell upon it. Go to verse 13. The Bible says, verse 13, same chapter. This is when the scripture tells us why Saul dies. The Bible says, so Saul died. Why? For his transgressions, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him, and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. That's the ultimate end of this man. What's the remedy? Jesus calls us to himself. Jesus says, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God is a forgiving God. God is a merciful God. The answer to rebellion is, God, forgive me. God, have mercy upon me. And God in His mercy will forgive you. I don't know where you are in your rebellion. I don't know whether you're testing it. I don't know whether you've gone so far to a point where now you have no peace about what you did. I don't know whether it's hidden so much that nobody else knows except you, and you struggle with it night and day. Come to God. Ask God for forgiveness. Let Him take the burden away from you. It is said that Nietzsche, as he suffered mental illness, his mother was a godly woman, and she would stay with him day and night. And he said that it'll be days he'll be just quiet, not saying anything. Then he'll wake up with tantrums, and he would say things, and what he was saying, he was quoting scripture, the one that he had renounced. See, God waits every day. When are you coming back home? To forgive you, to cleanse you, and to heal you. I will read this, then we will end. The book of Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and have mercy upon him. Unto our God, for He'll abundantly pardon. If I have something in my life that I'm struggling with, my wife may not know, my children may not know. It takes me to bed and I can't sleep. I will bring it to the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Oh, God, we can come anytime. And by your grace and mercy, the blood of Jesus can wash us clean again. We come to you this night with all that we have. We say, Father, be merciful today. Have your way. Magnify yourself. You are worthy. And Lord, we are just but dust. But you've called us to you. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.